T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Let's get to the Western Hotline. Sal is standing by and brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the best place to buy a case. What's your outlet? We got a lot of ground to cover. If you got a question or a comment on the Bills and you want to bring it up with Sal, dial us up right now at 803-0550. Sal, we got guys coming off COVID, and we have possibly gusty winds and snow Monday night for someone who always checks the game day forecast. Where would you like to start today?
Did you guys say rabbit this morning when you woke up? Rabbit, rabbit. First day of the month.
I do remember last month you telling us about that, though. That's how fast that month went.
Well, I mean, a few months ago we talked about it, actually, to be honest with you. Yeah,
I did not.
That this morning.
Does that mean it's going to be a bad month for me if I didn't do that?
No, it's all right. Just won't be the best month, you know. You give yourself good luck. I guess we will start with the moves. I think yesterday, obviously, really big news with the roster moves, and that is that Star Lotulelei and Spencer Brown both removed from the reserve COVID list. They're now on the active 53-man roster. Tre'Davious White was placed on injured reserve. And John Feliciano returned to practice. He has not been put on the active 53-man roster yet. That just means his window, his 21-day window to come back to the 53-man roster has opened. They will have until, well, it's normally Saturday at 4 p.m., but I think when they play a Monday night game, they could actually do it up until Monday game time if they still want to put John on the 53-man roster. So we'll see where that goes. But obviously really good news for those guys all to kind of be back in some capacity. Obviously not good news that Tre'Davious White went on injury reserve, but we all knew that was happening.
With and one other quick thing, that's not high on the list, of course, but Fromm claimed off the practice squad yesterday. I think you tweeted something about this. Would the Bills look to add another quarterback to the practice squad?
I would think they might, because I think they want to keep 4 quarterbacks in-house just because of the COVID situation. Remember, they've already been down 2 at one time with Fromm and Trubisky, and they had only Allen and Davis Webb on the roster. So they do have an open practice squad spot right now. I wonder if they would do that. You know, and good for Jake Fromm. He gets an opportunity to be on a 53-man roster to, you know, actually get game checks. You know, that's nice. So good for him. You know, there's a relationship there between Dave Gettleman and Brandon Bean. And a lot of times these practice squad transactions, you know, there's you don't have to have a courtesy, you know, conversation or phone call and with the player or whatever. But I would think with that relationship, I don't know this, but my guess would be, you know, Gettleman would talk to Brandon Bean and say, hey, you know, and Brandon Bean would probably say, look, yeah, kid deserves a shot if you're going to take him, you know, and we don't have a spot for him, so go right ahead.
You know, Sal, on the Fromm pick, you know, now that it's over and he's gone, how would you classify that pick? Because it always struck me as a bit odd to take a quarterback. I guess it's the numbers game and maybe identifying him as a long-term backup to Josh Allen, because when you draft him, you don't have Trubisky at that point, right? So you're thinking about your future. That said, ideally, it's a pick that the guy never plays. So like, to me, it's an odd spot to spend a fifth-round pick on a quarterback that could someday be something for you that you hope you never use.
Yeah, I think they were at the point on their roster, Jer, where – you know, they felt that they were really good in most areas, and it's time to really beef up the back end of the roster and be secure in case something were to happen to Josh. And, you know, I think they had Jake Fromm rated pretty highly where they drafted him. So they felt that, you know, we got to make sure that if we're going to have Josh Allen here for a long time, We should develop somebody behind him to make sure that if anything happened to him, we could survive a 3-4 game stretch. You know, and they identified Jake Fromm. Now, since then, after that happened, and who knows, what I want to know is when they drafted him, did they have in mind the COVID thing? Because that was already started to kind of percolate. It wasn't right there yet, you know? Mm-hmm. And then they drafted him, and he becomes the emergency COVID QB. And give him a lot of credit. He had to go through a lot last year during the offseason, in the season, I should say, when he was the emergency COVID QB. He was away from everybody. He worked out in the zone with a few other players, practice squad guys, whatever. You know, and he did everything they asked him to do. And I think that that was, you know, obviously really good for him, but it also probably hurt him a little bit in his development overall. He never got practice reps, never got to be around the team in season. So I wouldn't call that a miss. I don't know you're not saying that.
No.
I wouldn't call it a miss, but I think that the way everything went down with the calculations and what you thought he would be, it just never worked out that he would be that. And that guy now is turning out to be Davis Webb, to be quite honest, right now.
Yeah.
He's still young, and he's there, and he's backing up Josh and, you know, a development guy, I should say, that, you know, could be around that you can use in that role. But obviously the main backup now is Mitch Trubisky for the short term in case something happened to Josh.
I wonder if Trubisky, you know, is going to be another short term next year, or if he gets an opportunity.
I do too.
You know, there are a lot of questions to answer with that. The other part of this, Sal, though, is it's a third now, a third draft pick the Bills have lost off their practice squad.
It's amazing. I look, first of all, it's this year alone, they had two draft picks that didn't even make the team, which obviously is actually three, right? They had three draft picks that didn't make the team. I think I have to go back. Was it two? I have to go back and look at the entire draft class, but you know, usually your draft picks make the team. I think it just goes to show you how tough it is to make the roster. And then on top of that, now you've had three guys, like you said, Jeremy, who can't crack the Bills roster, but do get signed by other teams to be on their 53-man roster. And I do think it shows you, you know, how deep the roster is. Does it mean they're all pros at every position too deep? Of course not. I made this point on social media when they lost a couple of guys and when they lost Wild Goose and said, shows you how deep the roster is. And of course, right away, well, they're not deep at guard. Okay, I don't know what to tell you. I'm not telling you they're extremely deep at every single position, but they are deeper around the roster than most teams, and this is an example of that. And again, one question that comes up is when this does happen, does the team losing the player get compensation? The answer to that is no. And I will tell you, there's not a lot of rumblings in the league that that should happen, but with a 16-man practice squad and more teams losing guys, I wouldn't be surprised if at some point that gets visited, but the NFLPA would not be for that because it would discourage teams from actually taking guys and putting them on their 53-man roster and giving, which makes more money for them.
Sal with us here on our Western Hotline, 803-0550 to join us. Weather, Monday, it's early. It's only Wednesday, so
yep.
we know things can change, but looks like maybe some snow showers during the game at some point. Upper 20s, but possibly gusty winds, like 15 to 20 gusting, maybe to 50. Your thoughts?
That's a big jump. You said 15 to 20, maybe to 50.
Maybe gusts as high as 50,
that's right.
That's
intense.
That's a pretty big jump right there, Howard.
It is a little bit of a raise there on the Beaufort scale, yes.
I mean, yeah, this is it's not looking great right now. And for those of us like me on the field, you know, and dealing with the elements, you know, it's like, okay, how do you dress? How do you deal with it? But then you think from a football standpoint and, you know, who does that favor or whatever? And I would also like to see pristine conditions for Josh Allen and the offense to be able to throw the ball and do what they do. But I also think that, you know, you can look at it the other way and say it even limits a guy like Mac Jones more. You know, I think he's pretty limited right now what they're asking him to do. They're not asking him to throw the ball downfield. So you get conditions like that. At least you do have a quarterback in Josh Allen. And if the chips are down, you got to make a play. Hey, you know, you got a guy that's got a strong arm and he can deal with this. You wonder if the other guy can, right? And so I would say from that standpoint, it becomes more of a kind of game that the Patriots would like to play overall. But you do also limit their offense even more than it's already limited, I would say, which also could help the Bills.
One of the other things we were talking about today is from the Zoom call, the McDermott Zoom call yesterday, and it was pointed out by some folks on Twitter that he made numerous references when referring to New England or the Patriots. He made sure to add first place Patriots.
Yes.
Why?
I tweeted that as soon as he wrote it, as soon as he said it. Yes, it was. It just struck me as soon as he said it. He said he was asked about. He said he was asked about going into the week, and he said something about how they have to prepare. And then he said that's going to be our mindset all week, as well as playing the first place New England Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first time he had said it. It struck me. I tweeted out. I don't think that's unintentional.
Okay.
Everything Sean McDermott does has a reason.
Uh huh.
He does not do anything without a reason. He is very big on subtle messaging. to me, clearly a subtle message to his team, to his organization, to his coaches, not really to the fan base, but, you know, to say, we're the hunters now. They're in first place. Give a little bit of a underdog mentality that they might need to get back here that he feels, you know, to go out there and have to play at this. I clearly think there's a reason that he used that phrasing.
Do you think one of his popular phrases after a win is stay humble and hungry? Do you think he feels his team has lost, hasn't been as humble, or maybe has lost some of that hunger?
I don't know. That's tough to say. I mean they've rotated wins and losses for six games now, right? I mean, they've gone lose, win, lose, win, lose, win.
Yeah.
So after they've won, they've lost. And you wonder, is that part of it? I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't know if I could tie those two things together necessarily. I just think that he's clearly sending a message here that they're in first place and it's up to us to go get them now.
I wanted to also ask you, we got time. All right, I want to ask you about Leslie Frazier. And we've said this before, Sal. I find his Zoom calls are really interesting. And he was great on Trey White yesterday in two different ways. What happens without Trey White, but also the injury to Trey, losing the player, but also losing the person. And I thought it was, maybe you could tell the story about, he was asked when they kind of thought it was bad news, when it was actually confirmed that it was an ACL because Trey is so popular around there. I thought it was interesting how Frazier had talked about how emotional it was for the coaches, for the players, and all the people around Trey White once they found out for sure that he was out for the rest of the season.
Yeah, let me take you to Thursday night. So Tre'Davious starts coming off the field, and he called trainers out. Like, he knew something was wrong. He goes down on the field. You see the trainers come out, and immediately you can see there's concern on everybody. The trainers are already talking and radioing and things like that. Sean McDermott goes out, talks to him. Trey gets up. He walks off, but immediately he took his helmet, and he just slammed it on the ground. Mm-hmm. He knew. Like, we all knew. I'm standing there with Michelle Tafoya watching this, right?
Yeah.
And we're talking, like, okay, you know, trying to compare our own notes. What are we seeing here? Things like that to help each other. He goes into the blue tent. As he's going in there, he's already really emotional.
Yeah.
Tre'Davious is. He's in there. There's different people going in and out, trainers, obviously, support staff. You could tell that he was already, this was not going to be good news, or at least he felt this is not going to be good news. He left the tent extremely emotional. Again, now this is, he's probably already talked to people. This does not, it doesn't appear that it's going to turn out well, but you always, hey, you never know, right? You got to go in, you got to get the MRI, you got to get all that kind of stuff. From there, you could tell there were people concerned about him. There were people concerned to make sure that where was his mindset right now and talking to him. And yes, that's going to happen. Now they all have a game to play. They all have a game to coach, but the Bills have support staff. People like that. Mark Carrier is the guy that he runs. He's the player engagement director. That's a guy, you know, you lean on people like that because they're not coaching the game necessarily. That's what their role is, to talk to people, you know, in a life situation. So what Leslie Frazier says is, you know, it was very emotional for everybody when they found out. And he made sure that they all made sure that Tre'Davious knows and knew they're going to support him in everything he needs for his rehab and to get back, you know, to being the player and all that, and how important he is to all of them. And that's absolutely true. You know, and I say, you know, we've all been in situations, you know, we know that someone's just devastated by something that's happening like that, and they're a big part of, you know, what we do in work or life or whatever. And I'll tell you, I think that from a sports standpoint, being around sports, being around these things happening before, I would say the message for me would be, as an athlete or as a coach, you want to honor your teammate. You want to honor what's going on here. You go play your ass off for him for the mm-hmm. next whatever weeks.
Right.
You go prepare every single day for him. You go do everything you can to honor him in the right way because of what he would do. And I think that, to me, has to be the mindset that the team has to take and probably will take from here, because you don't want to focus on him not being there.
Right.
You want to focus on how great he is to have around and how you're going to honor him that way.
That's the speech Gary Gaines gave about Booby Miles and Friday Night Lights.
That's right.
I didn't even know that.
That is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how much Booby'd love to be out there with all you?
Yeah.
Yeah, because his knee's all messed up.
Right.
Yeah.
Honestly, I didn't even remember. I mean, I've seen the movie, but I don't remember that. But that's the thing. That's the way I would think of it, right? Like, that would be my message in that defensive meeting room. My message would be, You want to honor your teammate, you go play your butts off and prepare your butts like you never have before. That's how you honor him.
Yeah, and another
– And pick him up, you know, pick him up.
That's right.
Sure. And Sal, like that, you know, that's what being a part of a team is like you don't want to let the guy next to you down. And in this spot, what you basically are saying is this dude would give anything to be out there and he can't. So you have to do it for him.
That's right.
You know, that's what it is that – It's out of his control, and he can't help us, and you know how much he wants to. So don't let any ounce of what you can do go to waste because you got to do it for him.
Yeah, that's right. So it is a big loss. And the other part of it was he clearly, like, at least Leslie Frazier, he's not going to go out there and go, next man up, and we're going to be fine. Like,
yeah.
You know, he said, I'm not going to tell you that Levi Wallace is going to be that Dane Jackson's going to be the same player as Tre'Davious White. That's just not going to happen.
Right.
Right? I mean, whatever, however Frey phrased it, he said that. We all know that. He's not lying. That's not anything against Dane Jackson. Tre'Davious White is an all-pro, you know? I mean, but he's right. But that doesn't mean you stop playing. It doesn't mean the season's over. You go out there and you play and you do your job and you trust the people you've developed and you put in this position. You know, it goes back to when this happened. How many times over the next couple of days did I hear, you guys hear, we get tweeted at or whatever, people say, well, they never addressed the cornerback position. And maybe you could absolutely, I think it's totally fair to say, could they have used another guy there, maybe another veteran depth piece? Sure, I get it. But I would say, look, if I'm Brandon Bean, I'm going to tell you, I did address the cornerback position. I brought back a guy in Levi Wallace who started over 30 games for one of the better defenses in this league. We've been developing Dane Jackson for 2 years. We've been developing Cam Lewis for 3 years. Mm-hmm. That's how we've addressed the cornerback position. Like, just because it's not a guy that has played for, you know, 7-8 years and has been around the league doesn't mean it hasn't been addressed. Our way of addressing it is developing these guys who, when it's time, they get in there and they do their job.
Yeah. Yes, go ahead, Jeremy. I haven't finished my text to you, so go ahead.
I was going to ask you about Star Latulale, Sal. And not just Star, but Spencer Brown, too, as, you know, they get back to practice. The schedule is a little different from a Monday night game, a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But when they do get back to practice, I guess this is something to watch for, that they've activated players off of COVID-19 protocol. The next step, I think, is – are they practicing fully? Because,
correct,
you know, McDermott's not talking about how these players have been affected. He doesn't want to talk about that. So I feel like that's the next big step. Yes, they're now off the protocol. That doesn't necessarily mean that both Brown and Latulale will be good to go.
That is right. Now, what I don't know is it's an injury report, right? So if they, let's say they're taking it easy on Star, so to speak, I guess, you know, if you're ramping him up, or Spencer Brown, I don't think they appear on the injury report as limited because of COVID. You know what I mean?
Oh, all right.
I think that's an injury report. They may be – that may just be a decision to let's not put everything on their plate in practice today, right? I don't – if I remember right, I don't think Deion was ever listed as, like, limited because of it. He just – once he was back, he was back. And then they decide how they want to divide up the reps. But that is true, Jeremy, because – but I will also remind everybody, it's not just 10 days. People kept saying, well, it's already been 10 days. It's already been 10 days. It's 10 days, plus you have to pass the 2 negative tests, plus you have to be symptom-free. The only way they can be activated as they are now is to have all that cleared. So that means they are symptom-free. That doesn't mean they're completely in conditioning and in shape and game shape to play. The good news is here, you do have the longer week. You have the extra day. You know, they were practicing. They practiced yesterday in some capacity. Media was not out there. First time the media is going to be out there is tomorrow. So, because Thursday becomes a Wednesday Wednesday becomes a Thursday this week and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, your point is right. We don't know at what capacity Spencer Brown nor Star Latulale are going to be in. We'll find out on an injury report, but at the same time, I don't know if the injury report is going to reflect if they just decide to basically back off on those guys and figure out if they're ready to go or not.
I've got an out of left field question for you before you go. Corey was mentioning in the update.
Is it about Syracuse winning in double overtime against Indiana?
No, but I'm glad you won. I hate Indiana, so that's all right.
Revenge game.
I think I saw last night, since 87, I think Syracuse is like 6-0 against Indiana, which is crazy.
So they haven't forgotten that one.
Scoreboard,
that's right. Yeah.
So there's a report in South Florida that if the University of Miami fires their coach, that Ken Dorsey would have interest in that job. So a kind of a rules question, I guess, Sal. If it got to that point, since I'm thinking if we're all thinking, if Dable leaves, we would guess that Dorsey would be the guy. Could the Bills prevent him from interviewing for that job if they're waiting for him to take over for Daboll?
It's a good question, Howard, because now you're talking college here.
I know. I wasn't sure what the rules are with that, you know, so I'm just curious. Like I said, sorry for the out of left field question.
I have to check on that. I'm sorry. Okay. I don't know. I don't know if it's for a college job if they can prevent him from interviewing. I don't think they can.
Got it.
I think that he would be able to do that if he wants.
Okay. And it's not like they don't know what's happening with Brian Daboll in the offseason. So if Miami wants the new coach, they fire their guy and they say, you know, next week, hey, we're searching for a coach. What are you going to do if you're the Bills? You have no idea what's happening with your staff in the offseason. So anyway, just threw it out there.
There are a few candidates for the job. I guess I've heard Lane Kiffin's name thrown around. Mario
Isn't
Cristobal.
For every job, I think Lane Kiffin is going to come
up. Mario Cristobal. But, you know, I think we've all heard Ken Dorsey would be interested in that for a little while now. And we all knew that, you know, he was a candidate for the Lions offensive coordinator job last year. People have mentioned him. He's a possible head coach sooner rather than later in the NFL. I think Ken Dorsey has aspirations, as he should, as all these coaches do and should, I think. So if that's what he wants and he has an opportunity, then good luck to him. Yeah. And I don't think the Bills would stand in his way of that opportunity if that arose. But I do think it's a good question. I'd have to look in as far as the timing of it and how that would all work out.
All right. Thank you, as always, for your time, Mr. Capaccio, and have fun today at 10 o'clock.
All right, guys. Thanks. I'll see you then.
Sal will be on for the Extra Point Show with Joe. And his segment with us here on the Western Hotline was brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it is the best place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Ours is talking about the Bills. I got a tweet I want to ask you about this whole, it's in the whole Daboll hiding plays discussion that we had like earlier this season. We'll do that when we get back. 803-0550 to join us. Bills Patriots, of course, we're talking about that at 9. We'll talk more about New England with Chris Price from the Boston Globe. He also hosts the Patriots Report on the Believe Podcast Network. That's coming up at 9. Tweet us today. It's Hoagie Hump Day. You're busy. You got a lot going on. Just take a couple minutes to tweet at WGR550. Use the hashtag Hoagie Hump Day. That's all you got to do. You're in the running for a gift card from Jim's Steakout. One lucky WGR listener will win today a $25 gift card to Jim's Steakout. Again, tweet at WGR550 and use the hashtag Hoagie Hump Day. Jim's Steakout. Get your hoagie on. Visit jimsteakout.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Rehab is tough. You know, I believe that we've got a great staff that can help, though, too. And part of the reason why we have the resources we do through the generosity of Terry and Kim is to support players in times like this and our people, quite honestly, in times like this as well.
Sean McDermott talking about Trey White from yesterday's Zoom call. Thanks for hanging out with us on this Wednesday. We are talking everything Bills Patriots, and we'll continue to do so beyond today's show, if I had to guess correctly. I wanted to ask you about this tweet I got. Somebody called earlier about this too, and it's been a few weeks since we actually had this comment, I think, but we got it earlier in the season. So we'll get connected with our fans, by the way, brought to you by Bond, Shannick & King, a full-service Buffalo law firm. Phone lines open 803-0550 to talk Bills Pats. I got a tweet from this person who wrote, "Hunch, Bills will dominate this game and likely the rest of the season because the playbook is now all the way open. When Davis and Beasley, quote, magically reemerge as potent weapons, it will be confirmation Dable was fighting left-handed to limit tape for playoff opponents." Your thoughts, Mr. White?
Well, I guess the question I would ask is, why now? Because why wouldn't you wait 2 more weeks? Why wouldn't you wait 3 more weeks? Why?
Because of the importance of this particular – you're behind them in the division and the importance of this particular game.
And then what happens against Atlanta and the Jets and the Panthers?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not saying it's impossible. I just, why now?
I think, yeah.
Why not against Indianapolis?
Yeah, they were.
Which was an important
game.
That
was a big game. That's why I don't buy the whole, you know, they've been kind of snookering people and they're sitting on a whole bunch of stuff. Again, you always have plays you haven't used over the course of a season. But the idea of your, let's sit and wait till we get to December to really use the stuff that is really important to win. Every game matters, right? The Jacksonville loss. People keep tweeting about how the Jacksonville loss is going to haunt us and the conference race and all this stuff. That was an important game. Did they hide stuff in the playbook because they thought they were going to walk in Jacksonville? You always want to use whatever you have to use to win the game. I just don't think Dable has been sitting on stuff like that.
Well, I would also say we might want to be really careful because all of this sounds very much like Belichick's playing three-dimensional chess. And we can't become that. We can't allow ourselves to become the fan base that explains bad things as actually
what we were doing.
Wait until you see.
It's part of our plan.
What Belichick, he had a bad year last year on purpose.
Oh, my goodness.
He had an 8-touchdown season on purpose from his starting quarterback to lower expectations, to lower pressure on the new rookie quarterback he was going to get. Yeah, I mean, we got to be real careful there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's almost – I think you're trying to – well, one of two things, or maybe both. You're either trying to reason why the offense has had some games where you haven't been overly impressed with it, and or you're giving them credit where I don't know that credit should actually be given. Like, they are smarter. This is your 3D – where they're so smart, they're sandbagging. They're holding stuff back, and they're – I'm sure they'll show stuff Monday night that New England hasn't seen. Everybody does that, right? You don't just – run the same plays and show the same looks to every single team on your schedule, you're going to change some things up. There are different things you do based on game plan and each opponent each week. But to just say, you know, I mean, McDermott goes to Frazier and Dable and says, "Hey, guys, listen, we got some really big games in December, so don't empty the tank much in the first 3 months. We'll be able to win a game with one hand behind our back." And which teams, by the way? Is it, well, the Jets for sure, the Colts, no, New Orleans, no. Well, wait,
what do you
wait
do for
now
the Bucs?
It is because they're injured. Right.
If you beat the Patriots and then you play the Bucs, you might think, well, we might play the Bucs again, so let's.
Or do you go with the one-handed approach on an NFC team, not an AFC team?
I mean, especially the Bucs.
Right.
Yeah.
So, 'cause you might see them in the Super Bowl, right.
I feel the same way I felt about it earlier in the season, which was, it's dangerous because then it basically allows you to explain all bad things as actually intentionally bad for good.
Yeah, I don't think they were – I mean, they lose in Tennessee and a lot of different things happen that night. That
I don't think they left any
it.
Plays in the bag
yeah,
there.
Yeah, right. I don't think Brian Dable's coaching going, all right, we might see the Titans in the divisional round or something and let's not use certain things here. That's a big game. You're trying to beat Tennessee. It's a big tiebreaker implication game and all that stuff. So I think you do what you got to do to win each week. And as the season goes on, then you worry about maybe trying to find some different looks and some new things to throw an opponent. But that's playing with fire. I think you're really – I think we'd be giving the Bills too much credit for being like a dominating football team that you could kind of mess around with the playbook based on who you're playing and what the implications could be, whether you'll meet that team 3 months later in the playoffs. I just think that's not the approach they would take.
Patriots, by the way, like we listed some of their opponents and their luck. They played the Bucs without Gronk.
Oh, I forgot that game.
He did not play.
Is that right? All right.
They still
had like Evans and Godwin.
They lost to the Bucs, and they kept it close, but they played the Bucs without Gronk.
Right.
And they also had a weathering event in that game.
Yes, that's right. It was a kind of a crappy night, low-scoring game, right?
Yeah.
I was trying to see. I'm trying to remember. Let me pull up Patriots' schedule for their win streak, the six-game win streak. We know the last three games, there's like some injury stuff. They beat the Jets in there, right, I think? Yes, okay.
They put up 54
on the
Jets.
Their best win in the streak is, well, the Chargers, I think, is the best team they've beaten. They beat Cleveland by 38. But I forgot about the Titans. Yeah, the Chargers win was really impressive for me. The Titans win was about injuries. The Chargers win for me, if I look at this streak, Jets, Chargers, Panthers, Browns, Falcons, Titans. That's the win where I first thought, you know, New England. Okay, maybe they're going to be a little more trouble than I thought. They had opened up 2-4, right? And in that mix, they played Tampa tough. They played Dallas really well at home. Almost won that game, lost in overtime. And then they blow out the Jets, whatever. Anybody, they always blow out the Jets. They're New England. The Chargers game is the first time where I thought that's a really good win against a good team, a team I think will be in the playoffs on the road. They made Herbert look bad, which is the same thing they did in 2020. So the defense played really well in that game. And that's a nice win for, you know, a rookie quarterback on the road. I thought that was a really big win for them. Carolina, meh. They destroyed Cleveland. Mayfield's injured and they had their top two running backs shelved. Atlanta and Tennessee with a junior varsity offense. The Chargers game is the one out of the streak. To me, that's their most impressive win. And that's the first time I thought New England could be a problem. They're not going away in the division.
So what are we watching on Sunday?
You can't do that yet. That's the 506 map. I have that ready to go if you'd like to tease it for the next segment.
You have the map? Or
no, the map's not out yet. I already checked morning, right?
I think
it comes out. Well, it's Wednesday, right? But it comes out afternoon maybe or early evening. I forget when it comes out. But I think the map is pretty easy from our standpoint, what I want to see on Sunday. There's a really – Fox games are
– Thursday's Cowboys-Saints, maybe some Taysom Hill. The 1 o'clock games, what are we looking at?
Chargers Bengals we should get, and I think most of the country should get
Ravens
Chargers Bengals,
and then Ravens Steelers at 4 o'clock, and then Broncos Chiefs.
Yeah,
it's a good day to watch the AFC
because the other 4 o'clock is a CBS doubleheader, right? There's a second 4:25 game.
Niners Seahawks.
Yeah, forget it. I'm going to guess that's only going to San Francisco and Seattle.
Yeah.
Baltimore, Pittsburgh. Yeah. I love Chargers Bengals. To me, that's now the other. Well, I think the Fox early game for us might be Tampa Bay. They're playing. Who the heck is Tampa Bay
Falcons.
Playing? Yeah. So we might get that. You know, the Bills are playing the Bucks next. Maybe we'd get that if we got a Fox early game. Mm-hmm. But outside of that, there's not a lot of. I think Chargers Bengals is clearly the best game to watch. Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow. If the Bills are dropping down into the wild card chase, that's two teams in the mix for the wild card spot with
but
the Bills.
Overall, I mean, what a week for the AFC to kind of – I mean, it won't be completely clear, but those four games, Chargers-Bengals, and then Ravens-Steelers, and Broncos-Chiefs, and Bills-Patriots, here you have like a weekend of in-division matchups between teams that are all kind of, you know, muddled together.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think I'm debating. I probably won't do red zone at 1 o'clock. I think I'll lock in on Chargers Bengals. I think that's a pretty interesting game. It should be a good game. I'll watch that. I don't know what to expect from Ravens Steelers. I would expect Baltimore to win. I think the Steelers season is really falling apart on them. They're banged up again. Watt's on the COVID list now, I think, right? I think he's in COVID protocols. So my guess is Baltimore will win that game. I'm not sure how pretty that game's going to be to watch. So I'm going to go, I think I'll go red zone for the late games and see how things play out there. And then Sunday night, what do you think? KC blows out Denver?
Well, we can have a Vic Fangio game.
Oh, my goodness.
He might be okay, by the way. He might be a good coach.
Fangio?
Maybe.
No.
What do they have at quarterback?
See, that's the thing. I think, is it him or is it his – their offenses are just bad, have been bad. But I know it's Drew Lock. It's Teddy Bridgewater. It's was there a Kyle Allen moment? I'm trying to think who ran through there before Drew Lock. Was there a Kyle Allen?
Sure, an Allen, a Kyle, or
I thought
Brandon
there was
Allen.
An Allen out there somewhere. Maybe it's Brandon. I think
Mel
there was an Allen.
Mel
Allen came back from the dead to try and quarterback the Broncos. I remember
Tim
that.
Allen.
He was really
Tim Allen.
Pretty much just a pocket quarterback. He was not really mobile.
Steve Allen.
It's a common name. I'm not why I'm by the way, nice job on the horse on the highway thing yesterday. It was good. I liked your were you the one that did Main Street?
No, that was Shope.
Oh, Shope did Main Street. What'd you have?
Traffic Nightmare.
And then Brayton's was traffic slowed to a trot.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. Quality stuff yesterday.
What you're talking about is for people that weren't on Twitter at the moment, to see, right? Like it was a guy
horse was on a highway.
A horse on a highway.
A riderless horse?
Riderless horse. It didn't have a saddle on it, so it wasn't
trotting down a highway.
Followed by a horse with a rider. Because if you're going to track down a horse, you need another horse. We see that at the Derby, right? You're going to interview a horse, you got to do it on a horse.
Correct.
So if you're going to track one down, you got to get a horse out there.
And when the rider on the horse is interviewing the other rider, the horse is interviewing the other horse. It's got
yes.
a big mic stand in it.
You can't track a horse down from a flatbed truck, a car or a truck or anything. No, I guess you wouldn't be able to.
Not unless the horse is driving it.
Yeah, how would you track down a horse? That's pretty good.
Ask around.
Ask a friend?
Yeah, probably. People have probably seen it.
Google search. 803-0550 to join us. Bills, Patriots talk coming up top of the hour. We will talk about the New England Patriots. All right, I'll do my best, Sean McDermott. We will talk about the first place New England Patriots coming up at the top of the hour. Chris Price will join us from the Boston Globe. And a little college hoops talk in the next hour as well. Jim Weitzel from UB at 9:30. They got a big game Saturday at Bonna, who dropped out of the top 25 after they lost to Northern Iowa, but are still a really good basketball team. So that's coming up as well on WGR.
Yeah, I think, this is something I've said since I was in college because we never had it. But I think, like, maybe some music would help. But we have music in the warm-ups, and that's always fun. People are dancing, having fun. So I think maybe music would make practice a little more fun and a little more up-tempo. That's my one suggestion. But Coach T's been doing this a lot longer than I have, so.
Well, Mike Claypool suggested yesterday that he would like to have more fun at practice, maybe play some music. I'm suggesting you're not going to oblige his request.
Well, you know, Claypool plays wide out, and I'll let him do that. I'll formulate the practice approach, and I think that division of labor is probably appropriate.
It's funny. Mike Tomlin made me laugh yesterday.
Claypool was entirely respectful in the way that he said it.
Oh, yeah.
Coach T's been doing it a long time. I mean, Claypool effectively said what Tomlin did. Like, it's up to him, but, you know.
That was funny. And it's in a discussion, I guess, where Tomlin this week talked about maybe changing some of the things they do in practice or how they practice because they're having such a bad stretch of football.
So
I thought it was hilarious.
It's funny football like controversies. Labor. Tomlin suggests maybe doing things differently in practice. A receiver says, yeah, maybe we should do this
music?
Differently in practice. Coach, what do you think about that? I'll decide that.
but the way he said it, the division of labor is like,
I know.
That's a great line. That's just so funny. Yeah, it's not the end of the world. I mean, the Bills have music at practice, right?
Yeah.
That's not the end of the world. They can still focus on practicing and concentrating and just make it somewhat entertaining, I guess. I don't know. Hey, quick note on the Bills roster. This is from John Keim, who covers Washington, the Washington football team, I believe for ESPN.com. Former Washington cornerback Greg Stroman will sign with the Bills practice squad today, per a source. And Elena Getzenberg, who is the Bills reporter for ESPN.com, says Stroman is a college teammate of Tremaine Edmonds and was last released by Washington during training camp, played 20 games with the team from 2018 to 2020. So that would be the Jake Fromm practice squad spot that opened up, apparently going to a cornerback, Greg Stroman.
All right.
Now you're caught up.
One thing I was going to just mention quickly, a little personal note here. Do you have any... Like, I want to call it a blind spot. Do you have any blind spots for things where you don't really appreciate? Not to say you don't get it. I'm going to make a comparison that you might think is along the lines of you not eating strawberries and peanut butter. Ready? Here it comes. I've got nothing for the Beatles.
You know, I don't like you. My wife and son feel exactly the same way. We had this discussion in the house the other night.
Like, they've got a new documentary
out?
Yeah,
I finished watching it last night.
I mean, I'm not trying to make an argument like you shouldn't like them. I got nothing.
Why?
I don't know. I got nothing.
This is really funny.
I've never had anything for the Beatles. Yeah. And like this documentary, I'm even seeing clips. I'm like, that seems interesting for people that like them. I have nothing for them.
Well, I'm not going to lie. I love the Beatles. And there were times where I was incredibly bored by the documentary. It really dragged. I think you actually have to be a musician to enjoy watching 7 hours or whatever it was of them, you know, in the studio trying to figure out what to play and screwing around and playing other people's songs.
Hold up. A Peter Jackson joint dragging and being too long?
It was too long. Didn't have to be as long as it was. I definitely fast-forwarded. But I hold the Beatles in very high regard. I honestly think they're rock royalty and all that stuff. But it's funny, Jeremy, we had this. My wife and son said, they're overrated. What do people see about them? And I just looked at him like, what?
Yeah. See, I'm not even.
Did I marry you and you're my son?
I try not to talk overrated and stuff when it comes to taste anymore. It's just like, oh, that's just not for me. Like eggs, I don't like them. How could I say they're overrated? People seem to like them quite a bit. They're probably really good. I don't.
Yeah.
Like, that's, you know, personal taste kind of thing. And for the Beatles, like, I'm not going to tell you they're overrated. I'm not going to tell you they're bad. I'm just going to tell you they don't ever do anything
for
me.
They don't do it for you, huh? Yeah. No, I love them. Love them. Love everything about them. I never get tired of hearing their songs. I thought, like I said, there were parts watching them figure out how they came up with songs and how they worked themselves through developing lyrics and all the practice and everything was interesting. Did you see the whole thing yet?
I won't watch it.
You won't? Okay. No, I'm not going to lie.
That's the point. It's like, it's right there with, and this isn't, not that I don't get it, but I will not watch the 10-part Tom Brady series.
Right,
like,
right.
No thanks. I got a lot to do.
Yeah, if you're not fascinated as much, like, look, I'm not a huge Rolling Stones guy. If someone did a big documentary on the Stones, I probably wouldn't watch.
That one I might watch.
See that? But that's right. But that's, I'm where you are, okay, with the Beatles. I'm like, yeah, Stones are okay. I mean, they've been in town. I haven't gone to see them play. The best part about the documentary, I know we're super late, sorry. If you stick around and watch, it culminates with the concert on the roof that I'm sure people are familiar with. The last time they performed in public together was on the roof of the building of Apple, right? The Apple building in London. The best part is they're playing the concert. Police show up because they're getting complaints from people in the area about noise. So here's the Beatles, this legendary group, which I wanted to yell at the screen. Hey, folks, you don't know this right now. This is January 1969, but you don't want to stop this concert. This is the last time they're going to play together. One guy's going to be shot in 1980. The other guy's going to die of cancer. They're never playing together again. But cops actually showed up because people in the neighborhood were saying, and this was at lunchtime. This was not a nighttime concert. People were complaining because the Beatles were too loud.
Interrupting high tea.
And the police came down to arrest people.
Right? You'd be interrupting the Queen's tea.
Lunchtime, is that a quick? That's probably a thing.
Noon, Queen's right? Tea. Can't
Noon.
Do that.
Lunchtime with the Beatles, and people were complaining. I thought, come on, man. You're really kidding me with this stuff. Anyway.
Same Queen, by the way, right?
Yes, indeed. Yes.
Same Queen,
yes. When we get back, we'll talk more about the New England Patriots and find out why the heck they're in first place other than to torment the rest of the world. Chris Price will be with us from the Boston Globe in a moment on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. host a local event, and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.